Is here.
Oh, yeah.
We can go ahead. Pat, would you do the roll call? And I know Pat Kubish is not here. Is he excused?
Yep, we did know.
We did know.
Prior to that he was going to be gone.
You want to do the roll call then?
Carlisle?
Yes, here.
Kubish? McClory?
Here.
Murray?
Here.
Reynolds?
Here.
We have a quorum. Our bylaws are written in such a way, I should inform you early on, that to grant any action requires a majority of the entire board, not just those present. So in this case, it would take three of four affirmative votes. I just want to have you know that.
Before we get too far, Bob, yes. Could I have a motion to excuse Pat?
I'm sorry.
I'll make a motion to excuse.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
That is a Tuesday. I expect he'll be back in September.
Yes.
The minutes from the May 7th meeting were in our packages, and that was our reorganization meeting, and we elected our officers, and I think that was just about all the business we did. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as they are.
Second.
Second.
John, any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Any citizens present on... would like to be recognized on a non-agenda item, sir, or are you here for the agenda discussion? Very good. Pat or Scott, any correspondence?
Just one correspondence in relation to the application that's in front of you in support of that request.
It was in the packet. All right, then we turn to new business, and there's only one item. It's the variance request at 330 Mission Drive. Mr. and Mrs. Verizon are here. Scott, why don't you start us out?
Mr. and Mr. Verizon would like to request two different variances in order to construct a detached accessory building on their property. Their property is located on Mission Drive, which is basically at the top of Jefferson. It's a private road that was dedicated to provide access to these four parcels when they were split in 1996. It's a 15-foot wide easement, and it's more of a common driveway as opposed to a road. They are requesting to put up a detached accessory building that would be 13 feet, need a 13-foot variance from the front yard and a 5-foot variance from the side yard. The property is pretty limited in areas to put the building due to the wetlands down in the bottom area and the slope under the back of the property, so pretty limited in where it can. This property is located in the rural estate district. In that district, you don't have that 10-foot setback for accessory buildings like you do in the TRD district, so that's not a consideration you need to worry about here. But you do have to look at those two variances in order to grant this. The existing building has an attached garage, which is going to be converted to the living space. So this will be the garage for the property. With that, I have provided all the materials that they have supplied, and also provided you with a topographical drawing showing the elevations and the wetland features of the property, and provided you with the draft findings of fact. With that, if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer.
Does anyone want to hear a recitation of the findings with any discussion on that? And then I'll ask Tom for any discussion or any comments he might have. I suppose it's traditional that you go through those. It's a long list.
Well, I think
this
after
case.
The applicant's presentation and then, right. Then open up to the public, then once the board is in discussion, you start to hear those.
All right. Then the floor is open for any comments that you'd like to make.
I understand that part of the ordinance that we're addressing here is the fact that there has to be a hardship to grant this request, and so I'd like to begin by talking about that a little bit. The my wife Karen and I moved here nearly 10 years ago, and and we purchased this home because it was, we felt it was going to meet our needs into the future very nicely. And forgetting the fact that there is no bedroom on the main floor. In the past 14, 15 months or so, Karen's been having some difficulty with a knee that is going to eventually require surgery, but now we're just dealing with the pre issues that go with that. And stairs are becoming an issue. So we've been tossing around alternatives, and we like where we are, and we like living in Boyne City, and so I would prefer to stay where I am and create a situation in that house that would allow us to stay there for indefinitely. In order to do that, I'm going to have a bedroom on the main floor. That's as simple as that. You know, we were 10 years younger when I bought it. Shit happens. I was shaving this morning, and I noticed I was shaving my father's face.
Scary.
And that was
scary.
Yeah, that was quite a revelation. So that's where we are, and we're realists, and so we love living in Boyne City. We love that location. We want to stay there. And this would allow us to do that.
We'll get into this more, but as we understand it, the real constraints are those that are related to the particular lot.
Yeah, the lot is...
Elevations, wetland on one side, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Nothing you didn't know about when you bought, but also nothing that you can remedy.
Right. And nothing I anticipated doing anything about.
Right.
Quite frankly. I mean, I haven't for 10 years. Right. I mean, it's like... This never became a conscious issue until physical limitations present. And so that's what drives the conversation. That's what drives this thinking. That's what drives this request.
Can I say something?
Sure.
In the last year, because of my knees, we have discussed renovation. Then we went to building a new house. Then we went to maybe we should just move. Now we're back to renovations. And this one makes the most sense for us financially as well as practicality. I don't really want to pack up everything and move so it would work out better.
So,
we can't move.
Another thing that I would offer to you in this conversation is the fact that the building, as we talk about it being an outbuilding, it will be a building that mimics and looks just like the house. I mean, architecturally, it will enhance the value of the properties around it. So I want you to know that I take very seriously the values of properties and maintaining the value of adjacent land. It won't be something that doesn't look like it grew there. It'll look like it grew there.
Your intention would be to build and occupy the space almost immediately?
Mm-hmm. I would build the garage yet this fall, and the renovation of the existing garage would occur either in the winter or spring, depending on what has to happen when. But I want, you got to stage it.
Yeah, sure.
Got to move. We live in a winter climate, 6 months of the year. Got to have a garage. So.
All right, thank you. Anything else? Any other comments from...
I'm a neighbor. I live at 1110 Jefferson. I'm directly across the street. I live in a white farmhouse at the top of the hill. I would be the one really mostly impacted by this garage. And really, it's so secluded, we don't even see it. And I do think it's good. Would definitely, I'm in support of it, and it would definitely help, property values in that area. And I know they'll do a good job with the structure and follow through with the project.
Very good. Thank
you. May I have your name, please?
Oh, Ted. Last name Maxey. Macksey.
Thank you.
Anything else? Then let's move on to kind of the gyration that we have to go through here. Do you want to give us a recitation of the findings of facts?
These are the draft findings that I've developed, and of course, you're free to add or delete any of those you see fit. But as we go through these, the property is owned by the applicants, Thomas and Karen. Property is in the real estate district. The property is irregularly shaped. The square footage of the lot is 81,152 square feet. The minimum required in the district is 10,890 square feet. The property is currently developed with a single-family dwelling. Access to the parcel is provided by Mission Drive, which is a private road. Mission Drive is only partially developed and currently provides access to two parcels. If fully developed, Mission Drive could provide access to a total of four parcels. If the access easement for Mission Drive is the front lot line of the property, the RED requires a front yard setback of 30 feet. The existing dwelling has a front yard setback of 100 feet. The RED requires a side yard setback of no less than 10 feet. The RED requires a combined side yard setback of no less than 30 feet. The side yard setbacks for the existing dwelling are 20 feet and 17.6 feet combined for a 37.6. The proposed detached accessory building would be located in the front of the existing dwelling. Section 2136 requires detached accessory building not erected completely to the rear of an existing dwelling must maintain the required setback for the dwelling. Accessory building located in the rear of the dwelling may have a side yard setback of 3 feet. The property has significant building constraints due to steep slopes and wetland areas. The building constraints on the property are located in the rear yard.
Anything else that you would like to add or that the board would like to add to that list? All right, appropriate to open a public hearing on these matters, I think. All right, Pat, 511, the public hearing is open. We now need to go through, I think it's five or six separate issues. As you're right, basically defining hardship and hardship beyond your control. We'll have discussion on those. We're required to be in the affirmative on each one of those before a motion can be introduced. That's our roadmap. All right, the first one is that requiring the owner to comply with regulations governing the area setbacks, frontages, heights, bulk, density, and other non-use requirements would unreasonably prevent the owner from using the property for a permitted purpose or would render the conformity of such regulation unnecessarily burdensome. I think that's what you touched on in your presentation. Any comments from the board? Do we understand that it's virtually impossible to erect your garage on any other dimension on the lot?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. Are we in affirmative there? Any other discussion?
I'd vote yes.
John?
Well, the property is being used for a permitted use at this point. So there's a bit of a problem there I have with that part of the requirement. And
can you explain that statement and your interpretation?
The zoning of this property allows for single family residence. And it has been used for that for at least as long as these people have owned it. And they have been used for that before.
No, it's a spec house. We're the only owners.
But I think the permitted use that they're requesting is an accessory dwelling or accessory structure.
We're not adding another family. We're just adding a garage.
Mm-hmm. And that's a permitted use under this single-family...
Yeah, accessory dwellings, or accessory structures are permitted use.
Yes.
And that's what they want to put up.
Mm-hmm.
I should have asked earlier, did you actually, when you moved and bought the land, were you the responsible party for erecting the building on this site?
It was in place?
It was a spec house.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. May I?
Yeah.
I just wanted to add this, John. I did go up and have a conversation with Mr. Breiser. And we pretty thoroughly investigated all the dimensions, and I felt we did. And there's his water well is right on the immediate west end of the house. Obviously, that can't be moved. It's a nice 4-inch cap welder. And there's also a beautiful apple tree that sits there. It's a permanent fixture of that lot. It's been there for a long time. And it's just a naturally beautiful kind of thing. You don't want to really bring harm to that. And obviously, they purchased a lot, and those two things are already intact. And so if you look at the layout here on this enclosure that I think it's page, I don't know what page it is, but anyway, it's in the packet. If you look at the layout, the contractor has absolutely minimized the request, and yet I felt that he utilized the available piece of property to the maximum. The driveway, which goes into the riser's home, is called Mission Drive. Mm-hmm. But actual Mission Drive doesn't, it exists on paper, but it doesn't, it's never been constructed. So there's a couple of huge maple trees that, you know, even in the future, Mr. and Mrs. Breiser also own the adjoining lot to their land, the adjacent lot. And so if it were developed, even in the future, there would still be enough room there to back a full-size semi with a, like say for instance, a Boca home or a Wausau panelized home in there. And of course, with a stick-built home, then you'd be able to just bring a 5-ton flatbed in. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. I felt that there was, you know, probably lots of room there, and the actual footprint there was minimized, and that's part of the requirement. So that's how I saw.
Do we understand that you own the adjacent land that is impacted by the variance?
Yes.
Yeah. Of the other two that remain, one is owned separately and built upon and occupied. I take it.
Yes. One to our left here.
Yes, and then there is one that is unsold at this point, or
no,
at least not built upon.
It's owned.
Chris Carlton.
It's owned by the people that own this 10-acre piece here.
Okay. So all four of the potentially developable lots are
owned.
Oh yeah.
Not all developed, but owned. Okay. All right. Back to the question at hand, the hardship question. Are you okay at this point?
I still see property that has been used with an accessory building for a good deal of time, and to come in and say now that it's burdensome and that it prevents the use of the property if we don't allow the variance, that's what I'm...
You say it's been occupied with an accessory building. What are you referring to?
The garage.
The present garage is attached. Present garage... No. Yes, that's correct. Present garage is attached. And that's what you propose to make living space.
It's going to be a bedroom.
Okay. So, bring me back now to your thinking.
So... It's an accessory building garage.
I see.
And could the, you know, the question just pops up into my mind right now, could we grant it the variance without the change to the house proposed?
What does that achieve?
Well, I think you need to look at it as
no, it couldn't.
No.
Go ahead.
The specific
and so,
use that they're requesting is a detached accessory structure.
Mm-hmm.
So the threshold that you need to look at, does the property, does it unreasonably prevent the owner from using the property for that permitted purpose? So if he wants to put up a detached accessory structure on his property, does his property dictate that he has no ability to do that in any way? And that's kind of what you need to look at in regards to the physical features of the property. You know, he has plenty of room, technically, to put it, because of the property is so big, it's almost 2 acres. But physically, due to the limitations on it, for that permitted use of a detached accessory structure, can you locate it anywhere else on that property?
And there's nothing that permits or prohibits the construction of a detached structure.
Right. That's a use by right.
Right. All right. Well, let's.
I see what you're saying there.
Okay.
Are we? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are we in the affirmative that enough has been satisfied here?
I think okay. I can work with that.
All right, Roger. Anything?
Thank you.
You're okay. All right, good, thanks. Good discussion.
I just hung up on the garage business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, then, Pat, I think you can show number one in the affirmative.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the variance granted is the smallest variance necessary to do substantial justice to the owner as well as other property owners. I suppose the only thing that comes to mind there is whether the garage needs to be of these dimensions. Is it a two-car garage with some storage space?
Yes.
It's a pretty typical
size. Are those dimensions fairly typical?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's typical of a...
It's not like it's got a big workshop attached to it or anything.
No, it's not a 40 by 60 pole building.
Okay.
The power tools aren't on my list.
All right, any discussion there? I think we're in the affirmative, unless there's discussion. Number three, the variance can be granted in such a fashion that the spirit of the ordinance will be observed and public safety and welfare secured. Any thoughts there?
I agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're set there, Pat, number three. Number four, the need for the variance is not self-created. I think we talked about that. It's the topography of the land and that there is no other way to make use of the land for what you intend to do, and you have the right to build an external structure. So I think we're in agreement. And number five, the need for the variance is due to unique circumstances of the property itself, not due to general conditions in the area or to circumstances related to the owner personally or others residing on the property. I think, again, you touched that when you spoke.
And again, what you pointed out.
Any other discussion?
The well and the tree.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, I think we're in the affirmative on number five, and so now our instructions are that the board shall grant no variance if it finds an application does not meet all of the above listed criteria for determining whether or not a practical difficulty and or unnecessary hardship exists. So we're in the affirmative on all of these items that we have to comply with. I think that would make the motion to approve the variance, a motion to approve this variance in order.
I'll make a motion to approve the variance discussed here this evening.
Second?
Second.
Roger? Any other discussion? Pat, would you call the roll, please?
Murray?
Aye.
Reynolds?
Green.
Carlisle?
Yes.
McClory?
Yes.
The variance is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One issue, the I should have brought this up before. The Haggard's Plumbing letter, there's no vested interest in either the property or in the project, is there? He's just speaking from the public announcement, I think.
Yes, he sends one to every...
Does he? Okay.
Every notice he sends. Right.
He has no interest above it. You haven't even seen it.
I don't know Mr. Haggard.
No.
It's a Charlevoix plumber. He writes in favor of...
Everything?
Just about everything. He might have had a plumbing job in mind.
Well, he may have, but I...
Oh, maybe! Wow.
I'm planning a lot of plumbing here.
Mr. Haggard is your friend.
So glad you
didn't know it.
Nice to meet you. I'll wave when you go by. Thank you. Nice to meet you. I will. You know,
just
by
word
the time
caution when you're shaking your father's face.
Yeah.
You guys, you may want to go out this door. The other one's locked. That's okay. Don't worry.
Thank you. He's breaking. Oh yeah, thanks. You're gonna get me a
bolt. That didn't hurt.
No. Good. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Come see me and get your permits.
Yeah, yeah. I'll work on that.
I'm going to go home and get my baseball.
Yeah, we'll sign that. Thank you.
Thank
good to see you.
All right.
You want to go out that door?
Do I want to go out that door?
No.
Okay.
Is this Annie Doyle? Why don't you introduce her?
I am. Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet everyone. I'm your new zoning administrator for the ZBA.
Welcome to Boise.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we'll be starting on next Monday.
Yep.
And we're very excited to have her on. She's going to kind of take the same kind of role that the assistant has in being liaison for the Zoning Board of Appeals and working directly with Evangeline Township and then all other duties as assigned. So.
Tell us a little bit about your background, where you come from, what you've done, and so forth.
Well, I just graduated, got my master's in public administration from Central Michigan University. Mm-hmm. And I've been the chairman of the Planning Commission in Norwood Township since 2009.
Where is that?
South of Charlevoix. Small. It's about Cumberland size to Evangeline Township. And have just worked really hard to put together a good resume to be able to help in city planning and development and public administration, city management. So I'm excited to be a part of your team here in Boyne City. And you guys have a really great community.
We do.
Yeah, you do. So I'm
and
I'm
we're pretty hard to keep
it
that way.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on the team to be able to help out.
Does this mean then that your relationship with the township down there is no longer
right.
existing?
Right, September will be my last meeting there. And yeah, that was part of what we decided
right.
was that to avoid any kind of conflict of interest or yeah. anything like that, I would be stepping down from that.
So you're here for the city of Boyne City and the two townships that
yes.
we
serve? Yes, or as needed. Yeah.
Very good. It's nice to have you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You guys ran a nice meeting just now, so. I wanted to come and see what I was going to be involved with. So.
Sometimes they're not quite this.
quite so easy.
Standing fireworks at all.
No, yeah, that was nice.
Is Frank still a supervisor?
He is, yeah.
What the heck's his last name?
Hamilton. Yeah, Frank.
Do you live down there?
I do. Well, I live in Norwood. Yeah.
You going to make the commute?
I am. Yeah.
Well, very good. It's nice to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sir. You're starting
the 12th, next Monday.
Yeah, very good.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You've got a great group of people to work with in the city staff. They just couldn't be nicer or more helpful.
Great. That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
So that.
Yeah, you're very lucky to have them. Let's finish up the agenda. Any other old business to discuss? Any reports, officers, boards, committees? Any items for good
one
of the order?
Huh? Renominated two of us. I'm one in particular I'm thinking of.
Did that go to commission?
It did.
Two seats?
Mm-hmm.
Is it set?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was.
Three-year terms?
Yes.
Yep. Everyone was here.
And Roger, you need to stop in and get yourself sworn in.
Okay, I'll do it.
You're still covered until September 1st.
Do I need to sign the book?
You didn't get sworn in last time?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, then you would have signed it at that point.
Okay. Don't have to get sworn in.
Nope, just when you're renewed.
Then
I thought I was renewed.
Congratulations to the...
You're right, you do need to, sorry.
Okay.
New incumbents. Any items for good of the order?
I bet I did.
Any observations, mm-hmm. Scott, of other items in town that we might be aware of, Devlon, at all? You might speak to the public meeting of Mr. Hewing.
I can do that. You probably all received invitations to his public meeting that he held.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah, that was him. He invited, I guess, everybody in town. And he held a meeting at the library at the weekend of Boyne Thunder. I can't remember the date now.
Friday the
13th.
Yeah. And he made a presentation of his views of the facts. Whether or not we agree with those facts is something else, but
called for a petition to recall.
Well, he was the whole point of the meeting was to garner support to put pressure on the city commission to reinstitute his permits.
Is that even legal to do it? There is no permit on the table at this point.
Right, and he just wants the city to blatantly just give him a permit without any process.
But there's that's not permitted, is it?
Well, there's nothing that says you can't. But, and that's what they're banking on. But for the city to turn around after a long period of litigation to show the permits were expired and prevail on that, and then turn around and reissue them was, you know, idiotic in my mind. But, you know, he thinks that given the new, well, his new brownfield status, that the city should help him get that designation and get the permits in hand so he can quickly get that site cleaned up. But, you know, given his past track record, I don't hold out a lot of hope that he would.
Did you attend the meeting?
Yes, I did. I attended the meeting. Mr. Kane, Cindy, the clerk.
Chuck Vondra.
Chuck Vondra, Derek Gaylord.
Laura, I think.
Sounded like Bob Carlisle did, too.
Well, he looked through the glass door.
Yeah. One of the interesting things was that right at the onset of the meeting, Mr. Heavey made it very clear that this was not a public meeting or a city meeting or a political meeting, that no one from the city was allowed to speak. So we just sat there mute, and even when we were asked questions, we respected that and we didn't interject anything. So Mr. Heavey, I don't know how successful he was in his attempt to garner support. From the appearance, probably not a lot of folks were there supporting him. A number of them kind of just meandered out of the meeting halfway through, and it really, I don't think, helped his cause a whole lot.
Question? Not to belabor this, but did he give any evidence that he had made any progress on the brownfield issue, et cetera, and the cleanup issue since we last met with him? Has he done anything?
I don't think he's done anything additional. No.
So that was my question. What is the brownfield status?
Well, it is a brownfield. I have no doubt that there's a...
Well, we have a brownfield program.
Right, right. There's a state program, and that would require cooperation with the city and him to obtain that.
Well, there's no documentation to start anything, the process.
No, he hasn't applied because he says if you don't have a permit in hand, I need that to be successful in this application, which is not entirely true. You need a project, but you don't need a permit. A permit helps the application, but it doesn't necessarily, not necessarily needed. So,
my recollection is that on the night this board revoked all of the then existing permits was the first time we'd heard that he thought he had a brownfield option. Mm-hmm. This thing had dragged on for 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
No conversation about brownfield, and then all of a sudden that's the new avenue they want to go down.
We didn't revoke anything.
We affirmed it.
We affirmed the expiration of the permits.
They
expired.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then he had somebody here with him that was doing it.
He had a gal from a consultancy that has worked. She worked on the brownfield that Glenn Catt needed for his condo.
Peerless.
But AKT Peerless. Yeah. And the gal that showed up that was here, if you remember in that hearing, I said, do you remember that rainy October evening when you drove here in 2009 and introduced us to the brownfield plan? We didn't have a brownfield plan at that time. She was just introducing it to the city council and the citizens, mm-hmm. citizenry. And so she said yes. And I said, all right. Do you have any documentation dating back to 2009 or any time since then to show that Mr. Heavey and Devlin Corporation have documented proof that they've established a brownfield request or a plan or some kind? And she said, no. So that was that.
You probably don't want to discuss this at great length, but the fence remains, the rock pile remains. Does the city...
No, the rock pile's gone.
Is it flattened?
Yeah. Yeah, that was removed.
Is there any strategy to, in some way, take...
And there's an already conforming structure.
And there's that. Any strategy to at least get the site cleaned up by the city or otherwise?
There's no initiative right now to pursue anything further.
His taxes are current, as far as you know?
Yeah.
As far as I recall, his big obstacle was getting the sailboats to move so he could clean up the water.
That's, and he was in talking with the police chief a week ago about that.
Do you know Mr. Hebe?
Off of one.
No,
he's your neighbor in Charlevoix.
Oh, he is.
He lives there. Yeah.
Okay, Scott filled me in on the scenario.
I think he's Canadian by nationality, but he comes into town all the time for this project. Well, nothing.
What's with the cat? The additions they're going to put on there, is that moving ahead or something?
Yeah, they had the groundbreaking last Friday, and he indicated that they're going to be building three of the buildings for the units, the one duplex on the corner.
When does that start?
Probably this fall, probably after Labor Day.
Okay.
But he may be down there doing some things just to kind of create buzz and show activity. But it sounds like, you know, they got a couple sold, and then they'll probably build a couple more to, you know, generate income.
You didn't get the invitation?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I walked by, but it looked like it was, you know, three, four, five. I'm going to go down and see the big sailboat.
Oh, yeah. Pride Baltimore?
Right.
That's a beautiful piece of land. People are going to be very happy to live there.
Yep.
Anything else from the group? John, Roger?
Not me.
Any announcements, Pat? I see the September meeting is, I think it's the day after Labor Day.
Day after Labor Day.
Do you anticipate any business that night at this point?
Nothing has been presented to me that would be on the agenda, but there is a couple weeks left.
Yeah. Think a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second Roger, all in favor.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
36 minutes flat.
Nice.
Did good.